The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 70, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 10th, 2012, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam Samudram Apa Pravishanti Yadvat Tadvat Kama Yam Pravishanti Sarve Sa Shantim Apnoti Na Kamakami Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam Samudramapa Pravishanti Yadvat Tadvat Kamayam Pravishanti Sarve Shashantam Apnoti Nakamakami Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam Samudramapa Pravishanti Yadvat Tadvat Kamayam Pravishanti Sarve Shachantam Apnoti Nakamakami Apuryamanam,
always being filled.
Achala Pratishtam,
steadily situated.
Samudram, the ocean. Apa, the waters. Pravishanti, enter. Yadvat,
as.
Tadvat,
so.
Kama,
desires.
Yam, unto whom. Pravishanti,
enter.
Sarve,
all.
Saha,
that person.
Shantim,
peace.
Apnoti
achieves
na
not
kamakami
one who desires to fulfill
desires.
Purport, translation, and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Report. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water. But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness. A Krishna conscious man is not in need of anything because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the river that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities, and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna conscious man, one who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. The fruitive workers, the salvationists, and also the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires and therefore they are perfect in peace. Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, this is a very interesting term used by Prabhupada in this purport. Very, very interesting term. Prabhupada says so-called material bondage. What is the import of that statement, my Prabhupada? So-called material bondage. I mean, I'm not really bound up. See, I'm dreaming a tiger is coming to eat me. Oh, tiger, tiger, tiger! But I wake up, oh, it was just a nightmare. It's a so-called tiger, you understand? The fear was real. The anxiety was real, but the tiger was so-called tiger. You see. So actually our bondage in this material world is so-called bondage. Why? Because I'm imagining I'm this body. I'm thinking I am male, I am female, I am white, I am black, I am Tamil, I am Texan, I am this and that. You see. so-called position, you see, thinking I'm the body. For one who realizes he's not the body, this is a very amazing verse actually, describes the desires are still there, but he's not disturbed by them. The great transcendentalist, you see, the desires are there, just like the water is flowing into the ocean, but the ocean keeps its same level. It doesn't overflow during the rainy season. They're so much worried about global warming, about the ocean coming up, but actually, Prabhupada says the ocean never has its boundary. It knows what its limit is. They're so concerned about all these problems, the environment, this problem, that problem. But the main problem that they are missing. There was a killer epidemic which is ravaging the whole universe, and that they are neglecting. Did you hear about that killer epidemic ravaging the whole universe? Killing everybody. What is that epidemic? It is called death. That they are neglecting. They talk about, well, there's this problem, there's that problem, so many problems. The politicians talk about this problem and that problem. They get elected into office. But the killer epidemic, ravaging the whole universe, killing everybody like a huge juggernaut. Everybody's being wiped out by this epidemic. Every living being, every plant, every animal, even the demigods are wiped out by this epidemic, you see. That they are not talking about. They're so foolish, they don't know. Solve the worst problem first, sir. And then the other problems become easy. You see? Any good student, he knows, if I have so many assignments, take the worst, the heaviest assignment first, and the other ones become very easy. If you say the heaviest assignment for last, then you're always dreading the heaviest assignment. Do the heaviest assignment first, students, and then the others become very easy. You see? So they should learn from the politicians should learn from the dutiful student and take the heaviest thing first, the heaviest problem first, and that is death. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Krishna says, I am all devouring death. Take that problem first. First solve the death problem, and then every other problem will immediately fall into place, you see. That they don't know. So, here we see the wonderful example of this Krishna conscious man. Desires may come to him, but he's not carried away by them. Just like the great Acharya, Jamunacharya, a Bandhu of South India. Formerly he was king, and in those days king meant big harem. And big harem meant big facility for sex life. He had so much sense gratification. But he renounced everything and became a pure devotee of the Lord, you see. So he gave very nice verse expressing his realization of Krishna consciousness. Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde navanavarasadamanu nyattaram tumasit Tadabadi Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamane Babati Mukushushtu Nishtivanamcha. He said, ever since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Shivada and Krishna, deriving what? Nava Nava Rasa, ever increasing taste or rasa in that service. When the desire for sex pleasure enters into my consciousness, what do? Do I give in to it? No. My lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. You see? You see? This is brahmachari, you see. Brahmachari, the thought for sex pleasure may come. He doesn't think, oh, I have sex desire, therefore I have to fulfill the desire. No. The desire comes, he just spits.
Okay, move on. You see. Here the desire comes. Okay, here you come, little desire for sex. Okay, keep moving. You're not welcome to stick around here in my consciousness. You see. You've come into my consciousness. Now keep going, bud. You're not welcome here. You see. So even the desire comes, sex, pleasure, fame, followers, money, whatever the desire may be, material desire. You see. Devotee's not carried away. All right. You're a nonsense desire. Get out of here. I don't need you around here. You see. It's like sometimes it's compared to devotee's consciousness is compared to a hotel. I don't know. Do you have the no vacancy signs here in your hotels? They have, yes. In America, that's the sign. If the hotel's full, you're driving, you know, just like we used to drive with my parents, we'd drive to visit my grandparents. In the evening, we look for a motel, and you see, this one says no vacancy, so you don't bother going there. You go to one that doesn't have the no vacancy sign posted, see. So, devotee's consciousness is like a hotel that, when Maya comes to look for some space, there's a big sign that says, no vacancy. So Maya may come, but Maya said, there's no place for me here. So let me move on to the next person. Maybe I can find some place there, you see, to make up my residence. So in this way, a devotee has become completely aloof from all material desires. Even if they enter, they don't remain. They just pass right through his consciousness, you see. Prabhupada says he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. This world that we live in is a very, very agitating, disturbing world. That's the thing. But if one can simply fix your mind on Krishna, especially by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Then you'll always be happy and peaceful, you see. If you're happy, chant Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Suke duke bulo badane harinam korore. Whether you're happy or you're in distress, always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So it's a very simple formula. When you're miserable, chant Hare Krishna. When you're ecstatic, chant Hare Krishna. When people are glorifying you, chant Hare Krishna. When people are chastising you, chant Hare Krishna. In all conditions, just go on chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When you go to work, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When you come home from work, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When you have your dinner, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When you go to sleep, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. What do you dream all night? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In this way, if you will focus your consciousness, if you'll discipline your mind, just like a yogi fixes his mind on the super soul within the heart, the Vaishnava devotee fixes his mind on the name of Krishna. This Nama meditation is so profound, it's so perfect, it's so powerful. Krishna has come as Nama avatar. Many people on my e-course have asked me about how to chant nicely their japa.
So I'm always looking for very good tips on how to do that, and I found an amazing, amazing instruction from Prabhupada the other day in the Veda base. I just had to share it with you. So nice instruction from Prabhupada. He told one of his female disciples, Vallabhi Devi Dasi, he said, when you chant Hare Krishna, feel the presence of Krishna. That's really profound. When you chant Hare Krishna, you should feel the presence of Krishna. You say, well, how can I do that? I mean, is Krishna here? Of course he's here. Krishna has come in the name. That is Krishna, that is the full Krishna. It's not some just a replica of Krishna. It is absolutely Krishna personally himself has come. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if Krishna comes to your house, what will you do? Will you welcome him? Or will you just neglect him? Well, you can come in and sit down. I'm going to go do my work. Would you serve Krishna with full love and devotion if he came to your home? Of course. You'd be amazed. Oh, Krishna has come. Oh, Krishna. You offer your obeisances. You'd touch his lotus feet. You would give him a place to sit. You'd bathe his feet. You'd offer him the aarti. You'd feed him. You'd fan him. You'd ask whatever service. You'd just be completely in ecstasy. Krishna has come. So Krishna has come every day. Right there in your bead bag, you see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So how do we chant our japa? Well, let's get this thing over with. Or do we take it that this Krishna has come now? You see, we have to learn how to take our japa as welcoming Krishna into our consciousness. Welcoming Krishna into our heart, you see. That if we can chant in that way. And then Prabhupada said, if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the name. That's the second best thing to do. And that's what we usually say, you know, fix your mind on the name, Prabhu. Fix your name, fix your mind on the name, Mataji. You see. We usually advise like that, you see. But that's the secondary thing. The first thing is feel the presence of Krishna. You see. How Krishna has come. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. You're actually associating with Krishna. The perfection of existence does associate with Krishna. And you have that opportunity by the mercy of Prabhupada and the Acharyas that now you're given this duty. You must associate with Krishna every day, 16 rounds, you see. So it's just a wonderful opportunity. So by getting this higher taste, you see, by getting a company this higher platform of relishing the association of Krishna himself and the great devotees, you see, of Krishna. By coming to this platform of relishing, of swimming in this ocean, Nama Ras, you see, Sadhu Sangha Rasa, relishing this sublime nectar, you see, then you become completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. The material energy will just bounce off. You see, when Cupid's Kamadev zaps you with those arrows of lust, boom, they just go, they just bounce right off. Just like that, you know that hunter's arrow that was shot Krishna? You know that didn't even penetrate his skin? It just bounced off, you see. So that's in the same way that arrow bounced off Krishna's foot, it did not penetrate the skin, you see. A devotee, because he's fixed in Krishna consciousness. Even if that desire comes, it just bounces right off. It doesn't penetrate his consciousness. So this verse is very nice in that way. The thoughts come, but they don't enter, they don't get any locus standi, any position within the heart of the Vaishnava. Just keep on moving, just like that young prostitute, you know. Remember that beautiful young prostitute, she stripped naked? And to try to lure the mind of Haridas Thakur. Can you imagine, you're all alone in a solitary place and a beautiful young prostitute comes and strips yourself naked in front of you? What would you think about? You see? But Haridas Thakur, he was not disturbed at all. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, a devotee is fixed in understanding who he really is. If I think I'm my body, then I'm going to think I have to satisfy the bodily urges, you see. But if I know I'm not the body, if I'm fully convinced I'm an eternal spiritual being, and this body is just a garment that I'm wearing right now, that's it. It's just a vehicle I'm using. You see, if I'm convinced this body is simply a vehicle I'm using temporarily in the service of Krishna, then I'll just give it what it needs, not what it demands, you see. The body will demand so many things. Give me food, give me sex, give me this, give me that. But the devotee just gives the body what it needs, not what it demands, you understand? The big difference. We don't neglect the body, we give it what it needs to be healthy, but we don't give it what it demands. Because we are not the servants of our senses. See, I am not Indriya Das, I am Krishna Das. Sevam mukehi jivado svayam eva svaratyadaha. You see. Sarvapadivanir muktam tatparatnenam nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. One should be free of all material designations, sarvapadi, and free from all material contamination. You see. One should be restored to his original pure identity in which he engages his senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. That is called devotional service. So this is the great mercy of Prabhupada. He has given us this technique, this program, this system, this method, this technology, how to bring our senses under control and engage them in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. Disciple means discipline. Prabhupada personally told me, disciple means discipline. So are you disciplined? You see, am I disciplined? That we have to always see. We must always be introspective. Am I disciplined? Or am I wild? Am I carried away by my senses, or do I control my senses? You see, one who is carried away by his senses, he's a wild man. One who controls his senses, he is disciplined. So if you want to be a disciple, just sitting in the yoga and getting a name doesn't make you a disciple. Sorry, it's not so easy. You have to discipline yourself. But actually, if you will always remember Krishna, it's very easy to be a disciple. You always remember Krishna. Because by remembering Krishna, you will get a higher taste. Krishna is more attractive than anything in this material world. Bhagavan. What does that mean, Bhagavan? He is full of all opulences. What are the opulences? Power. Beauty. Renunciation. Knowledge. Wealth. And fame. These are the attractive things. If someone is really beautiful, we want to see, oh, where is this beautiful person? If someone is very, very powerful, we want to see, where is this powerful person? If someone is very, very renowned, oh, we want to meet that very, very renowned person. If someone is very knowledgeable, oh, I want to meet that knowledgeable person. Or someone is super, super rich, billionaire, multi-billionaire, we'd love to meet that person. Or someone is a very, very famous person. We would like to meet them. So if you can find a person who has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, and unlimited fame, that has got to be the supreme superstar of all superstars, isn't it? There's no bigger celebrity than that person. And that person has been analyzed by the great acharyas as none other than Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have an opportunity that you can become directly in contact with that person. You can be an intimate servant of that Supreme Person. You can become very, very dear to that Supreme Person. All you have to do is preach about Krishna. Nachatashman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritamaha bhavita chatame yashad anya priyaktarobhubi. In this world, there is no one more dear to me than the one who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita, nor will there ever be anyone more dear. So you can become the dearmost person of the most attractive, powerful, superstar celebrity in the history of existence. You can become his dearmost servitor. All you have to do is tell people about Krishna, starting with yourself. And see. Make a spiritual revolution on this planet. You see, Krishna will say, oh, this person is dedicating himself to revolutionizing this planet with Krishna bhakti. Make a revolution, starting with yourself. You are now hereby in charge of a bhakta program. And you're the bhakta. You see. I now put you in charge of a bhakta program. You're the bhakta leader. Now you're the leader and you're the bhakta also. You lead yourself first. You make yourself Krishna conscious. You see. How do you do that? Manmanavama madbhakto. Majajimang namaskuru. Yamma vaishashi yugdvayavang anmanak matmanang matpadayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer your obeisances. Worship me. In this way, you will come to me. You know what the Mayavadis, how they translate that verse? They say, in this way, you will become me. Talk about rascals. I mean, those guys are really, really rascals. They say you'll become Krishna. Krishna doesn't agree, sorry. Krishna doesn't want us to become him. Why? Because then he'd be all alone. If everybody became Krishna, which is the Mayavadi philosophy, then Krishna has no one to associate with. It's just Krishna alone. And Krishna doesn't want to be alone. That's why he expands Radharani from himself. And that's why he expands all the Balaram and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and the gopas and the cows and the calves and the flutes and the bamboo trees and the flowers and the Jamuna and all of us from himself. You see? Krishna tatasta shakti beda beda prakash. We are the marginal energy of Krishna. He's expanded us from himself for the purpose of having loving, loving relationships with each and every one of us. You see? Actually, every single jiva soul is most dear to Krishna. And every single jiva soul has his own unique qualities and characteristics. So you get snow here in Kuala Lumpur. We don't get it in Austin, where I'm from, either. But I was a kid. I lived in the northern part of the U.S., and we got snow there, big, big snows. And I remember in the classroom, in our textbook, we studied the snow. And we learned in our childhood studies, seeing the photographs of the snowflakes, that every snowflake was different. On the surface, it all looks the same. It's just snow. But if you put it under a microscope, you see that every snowflake is a beautiful work of art. And every snowflake is absolutely unique. There's millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, sextillions, octillions, zillions and zillions of unlimited snowflakes. And every one of them is completely unique. So in the same way that every snowflake is completely unique, every single jiva, there's more jivas than there are snowflakes. Every single jiva is absolutely unique so that Krishna can enjoy a certain flavor in his relationship with that jiva. So you may say, why are they all the same? I mean, wouldn't uniformity be good? We all wear tilak, don't we? Why not have uniformity amongst the jivas? Well, I ask you, if it said, okay, Prabhu, come now for the Janmashtami feast. We have 1,008 preps. Sit down and enjoy the feast. Okay, let me bring the preps now. Okay, here's the first prep, rice. Here's the second prep, rice. Here's the third prep, rice. The fourth prep, rice. I thought this was 1,008 preps. Yeah, we made some rice 1,008 times. The same recipe, but we made it the same recipe 1,008 times. You can have 1,008 different batches of the same recipe of rice. Are you fired up about the feast? Is it? So therefore, you see, Prabhupada says variety is the mother of enjoyment. The more there is variety of taste, that is enjoyment. So Krishna is created from himself, or he is eternally emanating. It didn't happen at a point in time. He's eternally emanating from himself, an unlimited variety of jivas, each one with their own unique qualities and characteristics, so that he can enjoy a particular taste and flavor from you, like a multi-course feast. You understand? Where each one of us is like a prep that Krishna can enjoy in his feast. You see? But if you leave the feast, then Krishna can't enjoy you. So we have to get back to the spiritual world so Krishna can enjoy us. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. We are Prakriti, we are not Purusha. Our position is to be enjoyed by Krishna. Krishna is the only enjoyer, and we are all the enjoyed. You may say, well, come on, that's not fair. I want to be the enjoyer. Well, that's why you're here, Prabhu. You wanted to be the enjoyer, that's why you're here. You have to understand that by agreeing to be enjoyed by Krishna, you enjoy equally with Krishna. In fact, by agreeing to be enjoyed by Krishna, you enjoy more than Krishna. You may say, what? That sounds like heresy, how you can say that. But no, the proof is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, you see, he is saying, my devotee, who I'm enjoying, she gets more pleasure being enjoyed by me than I get by enjoying her. So he wanted to know, what is that enjoyment that she is getting by being enjoyed that's more than my enjoyment of enjoying her? You see? So I want to taste that rasa of being enjoyed by Krishna. That will be more pleasurable than being the enjoyer. So that Krishna, he becomes, when he sees that beautiful golden limb girl, right? What is her name? Gaurangi, Radharani, you see. She's called Gaurangi because she has beautiful, beautiful golden limbs. Gaurangi, you see. So he sees that Gaurangi and he thinks, I will also become like that. So he becomes Gauranga, you see. To enjoy the rasa of being enjoyed by Krishna, which is greater than the rasa of being Krishna, you see. It's greater play. It's more pleasurable, actually. That's why Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. So he's saying, my devotees are getting more bliss than I am, so I will become a devotee also. He doesn't want to be outdone by anybody, you see. So Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. So there's no reason to be envious that God is the supreme enjoyer when God himself is envious of the devotees that they're getting more enjoyment than me. So I will also become devotee. You see. So to be envious of God is simply foolish. It's simply foolishness. If we can agree to be enjoyed by God, then our pleasure will be unlimited. We will enjoy unlimitedly. And as much as we give pleasure to Krishna, to that extent we enjoy. So the more we give pleasure to Krishna, the more we enjoy. So Krishna consciousness does not mean to deny enjoyment. It means to reject artificial enjoyment, which is nothing but a source of misery. That is Krishna consciousness. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, all the different things. Cinema, sports, checkers, chess. You see, all these mundane diversions, which people think are very enjoyable. You see, a devotee rejects. This is not necessary. All I need is Krishna Naam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And tons of service. Give me more service, more service, more service, you see. Prabhupada gave us unlimited service. You know the instruction he gave us in Los Angeles? He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. So that means our service is not done until the whole world is Krishna conscious. That's a lot of service. Until every high court judge wears Vaishnava tilak, we haven't finished our service yet. Prabhu, you have more service to do. You haven't made the whole world Krishna conscious yet. We have a very big assignment given by Prabhupada. Make the whole world Krishna conscious. I haven't finished my service. What's your service? Oh, Prabhupada said we have to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So I haven't finished my service yet. So how much time do we have to goof off? We don't have any time for goofing off, playing around. We have serious business. And that serious business is the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate recreation. That business is to make ourselves into pure devotees and to spread this Krishna conscious movement to every town and every village throughout the entire planet. That is our service. And there's nothing sweeter, nothing more enlivening, nothing more sublime, nothing more divine than this. This is the ultimate lifestyle. And this is the great mercy of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasadashishimad Esi Bhakti Vedantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, that He has given us this wonderful life of Krishna consciousness. So now, any questions, you can pass the papers forward. Krishna says, you should ask, He says, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. He says, you should approach the spiritual master and inquire. So Krishna says you're supposed to ask questions. When the spiritual master is present, you're supposed to ask questions. So be obedient to Krishna and ask some, write your questions down and send them forward. Only I think my disciple has written some question. Huh? Yeah. So why everyone should write some questions. This is Krishna's instruction. Inquire. Material desires cannot be controlled. What are the ways to overcome? It's very simple. You simply have to fill your heart with spiritual desires. That's all. Make your desire how I can awaken my pure love for Krishna within my heart. How I can help other people to become Krishna conscious. How I can please my spiritual master. How I can please the Vaishnavas. Make your desire how I can become more and more learned in this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. How I can become more and more realized in Krishna consciousness. Have this burning desire, a thirst for Krishna. More and more Krishna consciousness. Have an all-devouring greed for Krishna within your heart. And all these other desires will just melt away. They won't bother you. While a person is trying to become a devotee, why he faces so many miseries in the path of bhakti? Actually, the miseries are a blessing. The miseries are a great blessing. They remind us of this material is a miserable place. The devotee gets energized by the miseries, actually. This is a reminder to stay on the path, you see. Just like you're driving down the highway, you know, your little attention. On some highways they have little pieces of plastic or something embedded on the cement. So if you veer off the highway, you hear dip. You have that here in Malaysia also. Uh-oh, I'm getting off the road. They remind you, you see. So your miseries are like that. It's like a little dip on the side. Oh, I'm getting off the path. I'm going into miseries. Oh, I got to get back on the path again. I'm being inattentive. So the miseries are actually a blessing. It's like the little things on the highway to remind you you're going off the road. Miseries are there to remind you you're going off the road. You got to get back on the track. Tell us one pastime with Prabhupada. Actually, I'm having a pastime with Prabhupada right now. You're seeing one right now. I'm sitting here in front of my spiritual master. I can understand that his heart is very much perturbed to see the suffering souls of this material world. And Prabhupada wants that I should preach in such a way that everybody become attracted to fully surrender to Krishna and to fully surrender to read the instructions in Prabhupada's books. So I'm feeling it, that reciprocation with Prabhupada at this very minute. I'm having a pastime with Prabhupada right now. Understanding his compassion, understanding his mood, and trying to please him by trying to attract all of you to become fully absorbed in pure devotional service. So it's not that Prabhupada is dead and gone. The spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and his disciples live with him. Any more questions? What is the relationship between the rulers, who are mlechas, and the Vaishnavas, who are practicing devotional service in this country? Actually, in every country, it's not unique. In every country, the leaders are mlechas. We have rascal leaders in every single country. And I'm not picking on this country. Every country we have rascal leaders. They are described in the Bhagavatam. Shiva vibhada ushtrakarai sangstitak purishak pashu na jatta karma pato peito jatta namagada grajaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So this is a problem we have throughout the world. Our leaders are not Krishna conscious. Sometimes we see, well, it's their own misfortune, that's all. Because somehow we were fortunate to come in contact with this movement, to be in a position where we could realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should have compassion. Not that we hate someone because they're not Krishna conscious and they do stupid things. Just like our President of the United States, he just said now he's in favor of man-to-man marriage and woman-to-woman marriage. The President of the United States now has made that public statement just a few weeks ago. So he's just, it's idiotic. These leaders are idiotic, you see. They have no conception of what it means to be a human being even. What to speak of becoming a perfect human. Even just to be a human being, they don't even understand what it means to be a human being. It's like they're less than animals. You see. They're proposing things that are completely, they're against nature. What to speak of? Not even natural things. Man-to-man marriage. Prabhupada so much criticizes man-to-man marriage. And here the President of the United States is proposing man-to-man marriage and woman-to-woman marriage. You see. So what is our relationship with these people? We should feel sorry for them. We should think, what can I do to help these people come out of their misery? You see. It's a miserable position to be in complete illusion and ignorance. It's miserable. If someone is promoting man-to-man marriage, what is his consciousness? What will be his next birth? You see. So we should be very compassionate upon these poor souls. Try to help them. We really should. We should try to help these poor souls. Prabhupada is very compassionate upon the suffering souls of this world. So next question. Is the desire to go back to Godhead not pure devotional service? I read in Prabhupada's books that actually it's a desire in the mode of goodness. And those desires are favorable to developing pure devotional service. So, but there's another way to look at it. How do you qualify to go back to Godhead? By developing the mood of pure devotional service. So you don't have to worry about, just develop the mood of pure devotional service. And what is that mood? You see? Nadanam najanam nasundanim kapitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani jamanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvai. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want women, I don't want liberation from birth and death, all I want is service, 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 service forever and ever. I want service, you see. That's the qualification for going back to Godhead. Just desire pure bhakti. And that's, you're already back to Godhead. You don't have to wait for liberation. Ihaya shahira dashe karmana manasagara nikala svapyavastasu jivan muktasu uchite. One who engages his body, mind and words 100% in the service of Krishna is already a liberated soul even in all conditions of material existence.
Why worry about going back to Godhead? If you're in the mood of pure bhakti, you're already back to Godhead. You're already back to Godhead. So, just develop the mood of pure bhakti. If you desire to go back to Godhead, that's a very good desire. We encourage that desire. That's why our magazine is called Back to Godhead. It's a great desire. Now understand how to do it successfully. Just be in the mood of pure devotional service, whatever Krishna wants. That's my mood. My mood is to serve Prabhupada's mission. That's all. My only desire is, I'm not thinking I have to be in Krishna's pastimes or Gauranga's pastimes. I just want to be in Prabhupada's pastimes, you see. I'm willing to take millions of births, whatever Prabhupada wants me to do to push forward this mission of Krishna consciousness. I don't care about going back to Godhead. I just want to serve Prabhupada's mission. Even for millions of lifetimes, I don't care. I just want to see that Prabhupada's desire, the order he gave, that this entire world should become Krishna conscious. I want to see that that happens. Even though I have to take thousands of births, I don't care. But that consciousness of being fully absorbed, I'm striving for that consciousness, you see. That's my striving. That consciousness, when you have no desire except to please your spiritual master, you're already in the spiritual world. The question is normally put forward by my working colleagues. In Kali Yuga, it is said that the Lord manifests as Kalki Avatar, but in this modern civilization of high technology, how is it possible for the Lord to ride on a horse and kill the demoniac with knife and swords? What people don't realize is the Vedic Kshatriyas have powerful weapons, much more powerful than our atomic bombs or our drones or our smart missiles. The Kshatriya can shoot one arrow, that he can face an army of 10 million soldiers. He can put one arrow that divides into 10 million arrows and kills every single one of those soldiers with one shot. That's Vedic Kshatriya, you see. They have mystical weapons. Kalki's sword will be mystical. It won't be just some ordinary sword. Even if we are not experiencing bliss or happiness when chanting Hare Krishna, is Krishna still present in the holy name? In other words, does the holy name work even if you do not feel any bliss while chanting? The answer is yes. Krishna is fully present in his name, whether you're feeling it or not. The potency is there. The medicine is having an impact on you. But the more you can tune in and be conscious of the fact that Krishna is present there in his name, you'll get more benefit. Next question. What will happen to devotees who block other devotees' service to Krishna? Well, they're not going to go back to Godhead. That's all. They'll have to take birth. Until you learn how to become the servant of the Vaishnavas, Krishna will never accept you. Not in a million lifetimes will he accept you. As long as you remain Kanishta Adhikari, not being respectful to Vaishnavas, you will never go back to Godhead. I guarantee you. It's confirmed in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta stite janaha, mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You want to be a devotee of Krishna Prabhu? You want to be a devotee of Krishna Mataji? Then you become the devotee of the devotee. Otherwise, you are nonsense. Krishna will never accept you. I don't care how many Java malas you chant, or how many artis you offer, how many books you distribute, how many temples you open, how many offerings you cook. I don't care. If you're not respectful to Vaishnavas, you're not going anywhere. That's a fact. What is the first offense against chanting the holy name? Vaishnava Parab. That should be an indication. If you're offensive towards Vaishnava, you're not getting connected with the holy name. You are blocked by your aparads. So someone says, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just go away from the temple. That way I won't offend any devotees. But that's offending Prabhupada. He said, don't go away. Don't leave. I heard some devotees left. They have committed Vaishnava aparad. They have disobeyed Prabhupada. 40 devotees I heard have left your community here. They are offenders against Srila Prabhupada. They think, well, we're chanting Hare Krishna. If you are an offender, if you disobey the order of the spiritual master, it is offense against the spiritual master. You see, you cannot make spiritual advancement when you commit aparadha, you see. So there's devotees. I'm inviting them to come back. Come back. Don't leave Prabhupada's family, you see. Come back and join Prabhupada's family again. Because that's how we will please Prabhupada, by staying together. If you split apart, you're not pleasing Prabhupada. It's your own I am the Supreme trip. That's all it is. Give up this I am the Supreme trip. Become subordinate to Srila Prabhupada. During one of the classes held here, I heard that Prabhupada had said it before, whoever are not in Krishna consciousness is considered dog. But I read Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember the chapter. Arjuna asked Krishna, how about other religions? And Krishna said, they are indirectly praying to me, but they are not, they're just doing it the wrong way. So by Prabhupada saying dog, I believe he is bewildered. Prabhupada is bewildered? What kind of nonsense is that? I believe that Prabhupada is bewildered and in the mode of passion. If I'm reading this correctly, I believe he is bewildered in the mode of passion to promote Krishna consciousness to greater height. Prabhupada is not at all bewildered in the mode of passion. Forgive me if I misunderstood your question, but it looks like it says what it says to him. When Prabhupada says dog, he's being very kind. Because the chastisement of the pure devotee is a great blessing. What's the proof? Nalaka Viran Managriva. They were cursed to become trees by Narada Muni. And what was the result? They became liberated, pure devotees, you see. So when the spiritual master says dog, that is the greatest blessing. The chastisement of the pure devotee is the greatest blessing. It's not some mode of passion. It is mercy. It is compassion. Any other question? Okay. Is chanting the best service to Krishna? It was one time asked. I was with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta in 1975, the Sunday feast. And it was asked, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? This was a book distributor who was back on the road with his van full of brahmacharis. He was out on the road distributing books. And Prabhupada always said, book distribution is the best thing to please me. Book distribution, book distribution. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada, everyone was a hushed silence. How will Prabhupada answer this question? Prabhupada said, if you will love Krishna. If you love Krishna. That's the exact words he said. If you love Krishna. So the best thing is you to love Krishna. You see. You have to develop your love for Krishna. Whatever you're doing is the best service if you're doing it in the mood of love. Whether you're chanting, whether you're distributing books, whether you're offering an aarti, whether you're cooking, whether you're cleaning, whether you're raising a family, whether you're earning money to support a Krishna conscious lifestyle for your family and to support the temple. Whatever you're doing, if you're doing it in the mood of bhakti, that is the best service. If you chant begrudgingly, when am I get these rounds over with? That's not the best service. It's the consciousness that makes something the best service. Everything is the best service, and everything is the worst service. It depends on your consciousness in which you do it. That's the point. So, our time is up, it looks like. Any one last question to sneak in here? If not... We can continue. I've been authorized to continue. For how many more minutes?
15 more minutes.
All right, pass the questions up. Get out and get the pen and paper flowing here. More questions. Remember, that's the order of Krishna. You inquire. Krishna orders, inquire. So don't be shy. That question you always had, you never dared to answer. Now you can ask it anonymously on a piece of paper. No one will know.
You see? Now's your chance.
Another question. What's your opinion of devotees who are initiated and they juggle demigod worship and chanting Krishna's name?
That is the second offense against the holy names. They consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Rama to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu.
So any devotee who is worshipping demigods and worshipping Krishna, they are called Nam Aparadhi. They are offender against the name, and they will not develop Krishna Prema by chanting Hare Krishna until they give up their offense.
Prabhuji, why sannyasis fall down?
The same reason that grihasthas fall down, and vanaprasthas fall down, and brahmacharis fall down. You see? Fall down comes when you don't have a higher taste. Anyone who has not gotten a higher taste, they are subject to fall down at any minute, you see. This higher taste is a very important thing. Do you know how much taste there is in the name of Krishna? Can anybody tell me how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna? Can you tell me how much nectar? Anyone? Rupa Goswami even says, I cannot say how much nectar there is in Krishna. So anybody who falls down, they haven't learned how to relish the nectar contained in these two syllables, Krishna. Whether it's a sannyasi, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a brahmachari, the same thing for everybody. Anybody who has not learned to get the nectar from these two syllables, Krishna, they can fall down at any minute. More questions? Okay. Why does a devotee take it personally with Lord Krishna not favoring him when things do not go their way? Because that devotee thinks that he's Krishna. He thinks he's the center. That God, why you did this to me? Is he? Don't you realize what a great devotee I am, Krishna? Why you did this to me? You see, he's putting himself as a bigger God than Krishna. Krishna, you're my order supplier. You give me what I want. Why are you not giving me what I want? Therefore, I chastise you. Krishna, you're not giving me what I wanted. I wanted 3 chapatis for lunch. You only gave me 2. What sort of nonsense are you, Krishna? You see the attitude? Try to learn from Kunti Devi. Vipada shanti shashvat tatatata jagadgaro. Bhavanam darshanam yat shad apunar bhava darshanam. Try to learn from Kunti Devi. She is our great guru, Kunti Devi. She said that let those calamities come again and again. Because when those calamities come, I have nothing to do but think of you, my Lord. And when I think of you, I will no longer see birth and death. A devotee takes every calamity as the greatest mercy of Krishna. He doesn't think, oh, Krishna has not been nice to me today. He thinks, Krishna, thank you for blessing me. I found out I have terminal cancer. Oh, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Oh, no, Krishna, thank you very much. You're helping me to take shelter of you. You see, in this way, you have to take it like Parikshit Maharaj did. Why I was cursed? I will counteract it with my Vaishnava mystic power. No. He said, this is Krishna's mercy. That boy, that stupid boy, Sringi, cursed me to die. This is the greatest blessing. Now I will simply sit in here, Bhagavatam. In this way, learn from Parikshit Maharaj. He wasn't depressed. I heard he was cursed to die in 7 days. He became ecstatic. This is great. I wanted to renounce my kingdom and I was so absorbed in management. Now I can just sit in here, Bhagavatam. I can just sit and prepare myself for going back to Godhead. Devotee never becomes disturbed and there is a negative condition. He sees every negative as the greatest positive. Next question. All right, here's one verbally. I'm a little deaf, so try. Go ahead. I'll see if I can hear.
What do you tell people that undergone a very terrible personal tragedy?
Very terrible, does it?
Personal tragedy.
Personal tragedy. It depends on the person. There's no one... What do I tell somebody who has a personal tragedy? It really depends. You have to, first of all, you have to sympathize with them. You have to really feel, it's called commiserate with them. You really have to be sympathetic. You see? I mean, it's very emotionally disturbing time. So you shouldn't be cold and just philosophical. You should commiserate with them. Prabhupada would do that. You see? You have to have a heart. A Vaishnava is not just a philosophy machine. He has a heart. As it said, people don't care how much you know, but they want to know how much you care. So first of all, show them you really care about them and you really feel sorry for them that they're going through such a difficult time. And in that mood, then Krishna will give you the intelligence what you should preach to them. Because it depends on where they're at spiritually, how advanced they are in their understanding of the philosophy. You see, it really depends on the individual. But the first thing is you have to feel sorry for them and feel sympathy in your heart. You have to cry with them, actually, in a sense. You have to feel that suffering along with them. And then that, when they see that you're how sympathetic and how compassionate you are and how soft-hearted you are, then you'll be able, whatever you say will have a very powerful impact. Can we force someone to Krishna consciousness, family members, friends, etc.? No, you can't. You cannot force anybody to become Krishna conscious. Just like, I'll give you an example. I'll put this garland on the table over here. Well, here's the garland. I don't know if everybody can see that my garland is here on the table. Okay, now I'm going to take the string here. I'm going to push the string. The garland didn't move. I pushed it. I pushed the string. It didn't move. But now if I pull it, it moves. You see. So pushing doesn't work, but pulling works. You see. So in the same way, you can't push anybody to be Krishna conscious. It doesn't work. Krishna doesn't do that. Why you should do that? But you can pull them. You can attract them. This is my own experience. I met some very. This is back in 1968. In 1969, I was associating with devotees in California. Actually, the second temple of our movement, 518 Frederick Street. And, you know, they were a little... I detected a pushy nature, which didn't turn me on. When Brahmachari said, we have to accept the higher authorities. And it didn't... It turned me on. But then I met Vishnujana Swami, and his mood was entirely different. You see, he was just emanating bliss. It was just a festival of bliss being with him. In other words, I was attracted to Krishna consciousness because he wasn't trying to push me to be Krishna conscious. He was relishing the bliss himself and he was sharing the bliss with me. So that's why I became a devotee, because someone didn't push me to become a devotee. Someone shared the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness with me. So that's what you have to do. You can't force someone to be Krishna conscious. Share the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness with them. Let them taste the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. How about a nice gulab jamun in the mouth? But actually, I've seen that devotees... I don't know if you can make gulab jamuns properly here. I had one the other day. It was like a rock. But you need to learn how to make gulab... I don't know if anybody makes good gulab jamuns here, but the gulab jamun should explode like a brahmastra in your mouth. A brahmastra of rus. In your mouth, when you put it in your mouth, not some lump. But anyway, that's a cooking matter. But the point is, you have to share the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Let them feel the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, and then they will naturally become Krishna conscious. What is the position of a devotee who has some problem with the temple management, who comes to attend classes but goes away after taking prasadam? Well, thank you for coming to the class, if you're out there right now. That's very good, because you come to the class, we're going to convince you to stay after the class and do some service. We're happy. We're not saying, what are you doing just coming to the class and leaving? No, we're saying, thank you for coming to the class. We love you. You're great. You're fantastic. Now, why don't you get a little more nectar and stay for a few minutes and do some service? In this way, we'll attract them. We won't say, you're bad because you leave after the class. No, we'll say, you're wonderful because you came to the class. Now, why don't you get a little bit more nectar and stay for a few minutes and sweep the floor after the class? In this way, we'll attract them. We won't chastise them. We'll attract them. Should serving Krishna and doing service in the temple is in the only duty? What about there is a misunderstanding and one that says, sorry, still not forgiving or helping in another way when you were reluctant to help. What about this devotee is only service to Krishna, does serious service, but not forgiving and helping others when can? Let me see if I can summarize it in my own consciousness here, what they're trying to ask. There's two things. There's serving Krishna and there's relationships with devotees. I see that going on here in this question. Someone who just wants to serve Krishna, he's called a Kanishta Adhikari. He's not considered very advanced spiritually. But someone who understands here is a devotee, let me respect a devotee, you see, he's called Majjhima Adhikari. He's more advanced, you see. So, we have to not only come and serve Krishna, we have to come and develop relationships with devotees. That's absolutely essential. Because as I quoted earlier, unless you're a devotee of the devotees, Krishna doesn't accept your service. So service is very good, but if you don't have relationships with Vaishnavas, you're Kanishta Adhikari, you're materialistic still. To actually come to the spiritual platform, you can only do that by developing relationships with devotees. So please do that. We have this many more questions? Well, they've come in now at the last minute. Can I rush through them?
Yes.
All right. I've been authorized. No more questions. This is it. Now, there wasn't any now. When I said you're dull, then all the questions came. You wanted to prove to me that you're not dull, and now you've proven you're not dull. Thank you very much. It was said that in order to improve our bhakti, devotional life, we are doing book distribution, food for life, preaching activities, cooking, etc. Whereas, in another statement, it was said that the activities mentioned above are externally in order to attract more people, devotees towards Krishna consciousness, but for our own self, bhakti internally, it is only a success when we develop a taste for chanting the holy name and hearing Hare Katha, kindly liberate. Actually, all of it is for our purification. Chanting Hare Krishna is for our purification and preaching is also for our purification. Prabhupada says the most powerful way to conquer your own mind is to defeat the atheists. And I know from my own experience, I love preaching because I'm the most Krishna conscious when I'm preaching. That's why I travel all over the world because it helps my Krishna consciousness. I have a greedy self-interest for preaching. By preaching, I become more Krishna conscious. When I'm sitting on the Vyasa San, preaching the teachings, purely the message of Prabhupada, that's when I feel the most Krishna conscious. So that's the preaching, book distribution, food for life, these things are good for our Krishna consciousness because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Why Hare Krishna during the Kali Yuga? Even though Krishna has a lot of power, he didn't let the whole world become his devotee. Krishna does not interfere with the independence of a living entity because if you force someone to become Krishna conscious, they can't really be Krishna conscious. If I put a gun on your head and I say, be my friend or I'll shoot. You see? I love you, you're great, I'm your friend, but you don't really feel it. You're just doing it because you don't want to be shot. You'll hate me. Who's this rascal putting a gun in my head? You know, just like some terrorists, you know, they capture you and they say, we're going to cut your head off. I say, please, please, you know, I'm your friend. Don't cut my head off. Please, please, I love you. You know, Allah Akbar, you know, don't cut off my head. But you can't really feel love for someone who's, you know, threatening you like that. Unless you're an advanced devotee. But I mean, not normally, you wouldn't feel love. But someone who gives you love, then you want to reciprocate that love. So Krishna gives us his love by not putting any force on us. I love you, now you do what you want. I give you full facility in the material world or the spiritual world, your choice. But in any case, I love you, you see. That's Krishna's position.
Thank you. Okay.
In what way does Krishna reciprocate a devotee's love for him? That question is, let's say there's no one way. There's unlimited varieties of ways that Krishna reciprocates his love. There's in Santa Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Madhura Ras, and five different ways that Krishna reciprocates love with his pure devotees, and five different rasas. And in seven secondary rasas also he reciprocates love, you see. That's comedy, chivalry, fear, compassion, ghastliness, dread, and wonder. It's like ghastliness, Nrsingadev, you see. So Krishna reciprocates in any one of these 12 varieties of ways. You see, there's 12 ways that Krishna reciprocates. The five primary rasas are there. Every pure devotee is situated in one of these five primary rasas. But the other rasas come in like spices in the prep, you see. The secondary rasas are there to enhance the primary rasas. So in these 5 + 7 ways, Krishna reciprocates the love of the devotees. Okay. Why are there miseries attacking devotees although you're practicing serious devotional service? Because they're so serious, Krishna is blessing him with these miseries. That's his kindness. I see you're very serious, now let me bless you to help you become even more serious. Here's the misery, you see. That's to help us. We have to learn to appreciate. I mean, I've been suffering for 40 years. Ever since I've been a devotee, I've been suffering with very bad disease in my ears. Some problematic condition. So instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I have to think, Krishna, you're blessing me. I may not understand how it's a blessing that I have to suffer so much, but it's your kindness upon me. Please help me to understand how this is your kindness upon me, that I'm suffering for so many years. Ever since I've been a devotee, for 41 years, I came to the movement already having this disease in my ears. So instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing that? I think, Krishna, please help me to understand how this is a blessing. You see, that's how you should take the misery. Krishna, please, I'm so bewildered, I'm completely overwhelmed by this, but I can't understand why you're doing this, but please help me understand how this misery I'm going through right now is your kindness upon me. Beg Krishna to help you understand. Does it come under karma or Krishna's testing? Both, it can easily be both things. For those who come not completely pure, it's karma and it's Krishna's test, because karma is always reduced for a devotee. When you take diksha, your karma is reduced down to 0.00001%. You get a token karma after diksha. But even then, that token karma can be very, very heavy, you see. So, it's a mixture. Of course, when you're completely 100% pure devotee, then it's just, there's no karma anymore. But still, it may appear to be misery. Like Prabhupada appeared to be suffering in different ways. But actually, Prabhupada was not suffering at all. It was just his body, you see. It was a transcendental pastime of Prabhupada, those final days in Vrindavan, you see. Now, for us, it would be excruciating to be in that condition. But Prabhupada was completely transcendental to it. How the devotees know which is the final test for them? When death comes, you know it's the final test. Until then, until you leave your body, you haven't had your final exam yet, Prabhu. Mataji. Your final exam is the moment of death. Until then, everything is a preparatory exam for the final exam. If you will always remember Krishna, then you're guaranteed to pass the exam with flying colors. No problem. How karma of a wife is related to the husband? Well, You, having a particular wife, that can be your karma. And vice versa. Hare Krishna Vibhuji, I am coming to the temple to do duties assigned to me. I am doing without really thinking I am doing service to Prabhupada or my guru. Am I doing mechanically? Is my attitude right? Of course not. Of course your attitude is not right. You should think how fortunate I am that after millions of lifetimes of suffering in the cycle of birth and death, now even though I'm completely, totally disqualified, I'm being allowed to enter into the temple. What unlimited good fortune. I'm being allowed to pass through the doors of this temple. I'm not even deserved to be in the temple. I'm so contaminated. I'm such a wretched rascal. I don't deserve to be even within a mile of the temple. But the devotees are allowing me to enter under the grounds of the temple. That's unbelievable in itself. And even more unbelievable, they allow me to enter into the temple building. Even though I'm the lowest despicable wretch, you see. So one should feel how much I'm blessed. And now they're even letting me do some service. That's unbelievable mercy. I'm getting the opportunity to do devotional service. What the great yogis can't do in millions of lifetimes, I'm getting that opportunity now. How fortunate I am. If I had all the wealth of the treasure of the demigods Kuvera in my possession, even that wealth could not equal the opportunity of sweeping the temple room floor. You understand? In this way you have to understand. Prabhupada said the temple is the body of Krishna. Don't think otherwise. Whether you're bathing the deity or you're cleaning the temple, it's the same thing, Prabhupada said. So take it as the greatest mercy that I'm directly in contact with Krishna by doing devotional service at the temple. I mean, given after millions of lifetimes of wandering in the cycle of birth and death, now, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, now I am reconnected with my eternal Lord Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. In this way, sweep the floor. Wash the dishes or whatever it may be. Clean the toilet. Whatever it may be. So now we'll stop. And I thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.